Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. We are not wrapping things up. We're almost at halftime here. We're on the final day of a Cup of Soup or Bowl. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have the lucky Magic 8-Ball. I had a $2 winner here a few minutes ago at Cooper's North. We're in Mays Chapel. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Wise Markets and Wise Conversations. We try to keep these things wise and learn things. A lot of things in this segment. I'll even begin with this. I was out on the Oyster Tour. I was at Riley's Oyster. Hi, McComas. You should sponsor the show. Delicious bowl of clam chowder on like day 10 or 12 of the Oyster Tour. And a very interesting young lady with purple hair came up to me and said, "Hey, I hear you do good things in Super Bowl week, and I got a story to tell you." And I think you're like a listener to begin with. Jessica Normington is here. She is the Director of Development and Communications for BISM, and that's Empowering the Blind Community. BISM stands for?
Blind Industries and Services of Maryland.
There you go. All right. So I'll begin by saying this. When I see blind people, there's something about it that is so inspirational to me. Whenever I see blind people, especially in cities, in New York City, downtown Baltimore, I lived in Baltimore, I think all of us have touched something in an elevator or we're crossing the street, and we've all touched Braille things, and I'm missing a finger. No, very few of it. Can you read Braille?
I know the alphabet a little bit.
Can you read your own card?
I know what it says.
Okay, right. I mean, but it just goes to show how difficult that would be, navigating the world being blind would be, especially given the current administration, they care about anybody, and people in need and people who have inclusion issues, that I might add. So there's your I. There is no I in inclusion. What you do every day, tell me about BISM, but more than that, I know who blind people are, and I'm a radio guy that had blind listeners in the early 90s because I was their form of entertainment to call into me. A man named Maurice was a blind caller, one of my first real fans. He called every night when nobody called, and there was no Nasty Nester or any of that. And I remember the sound of his voice, and I remember him talking to me for 3 months. And then one day he said, "I want to come to the studio and meet you." And I said, "Sure, somebody wants to meet me." It was 1992. Nobody wanted to meet me, especially not girls. But this was a dude who was a listener, and he came in the studio, and I opened the door at 5 Light Street up on the 7th floor, and he was blind. And he had been talking about the Yankees, because he was a Yankees fan, for 3.5-4 months on the radio. It was the first summer I was on the air, and I'm like, holy shit, you know, like, this is unbelievable. You know what I mean? Like, that was 33 years ago that I had. I don't know whatever happened to Maurice. If you're still out there, God, I'd love to see you. He was a little older. I hope he's still here. But one of my first listeners was a blind listener.
That's
because
amazing.
For radio, AM radio, it was their companion.
Right.
Literally. Yep. Don't make me cry. I haven't gone all week without crying. So I half cried an hour ago, but I'm not doing it this year. I got a funeral tonight. I'm going to cry plenty. It'll be plenty today. So I'm saving up for you, Schilling. Your work, and you came up to me and said, "We're going to do this." So I don't know. You're like, listen to the show sometimes, I think. I think you know
yes,
who I am.
Do.
What do you do?
So Blind Industries is a local nonprofit. We employ and train and educate blind individuals. So on one side of our business, we're the largest employer of blind individuals in the state, and we manufacture office supplies, janitorial supplies, and military uniforms, and employ those blind individuals doing those jobs. And then on the other side, we train blind individuals from any age. Our youngest is probably 5 years old, and believe it or not, we have a 105-year-old senior in our program, and we teach them what we call non-visual skills so that they can learn to...
These are people who have seen in their life, yes?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Some have been
born... I cannot imagine what it would be like to have never seen
and
perceive the world or to have my vision taken away.
So we have a varying degree of that. We have students of ours who were born blind and want to go to college or be employed. And so they come to us and we give them the skills because maybe they were mainstreamed and mom and dad held their hand and guided them. But they want to go on a college campus and be independent. So we provide those, we teach those skills. So travel skills, independent living skills, financing, budgeting, cooking,
spend cleaning. 5 minutes with anybody who's blind and you will be, you won't think your life's so bad. You won't think that you can't do something or you can't figure something out.
You know, I work with blind individuals on a daily basis.
Crazy inspirational.
And 9 times out of 10 at this point, I forget they're blind. They're just you and I.
Right. You don't
see. And the only difference is they can't see. So you just have to, when you walk into a room, you introduce
yourself.
What's
the first thing people should know? Like, let's start with that. See somebody blind. They can't see you. They might not know you're there unless you make a sound. And you can come up to someone who's blind and say hello and
introduce yourself.
Because they cannot see you. And they, you know, if you don't go up to them, they're not going to come up to you.
Correct.
Unless they need something, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And ask them if they need assistance. Don't assume they need assistance.
Hey, how you doing? Can I help you with anything?
Yep.
Like I did the little old lady who was here pushing the walker through here and trying to navigate getting out that door about an hour ago because I had good parents, you know. Thanks to my parents, I think about these things and I try to promote these things on more than one occasion. But so your job every day is training folks to get out into the workforce, really. And
correct. I mean, that's not my job.
But your organization.
Yes.
Your organization. That is... Though that's a pretty good guiding light, right? That's
yes.
A pretty good place to start. Who employs people who can't see?
Well, I know we do.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, there's, we have a board member who's a chemistry professor at CCBC.
Okay.
There's other, they do accessibility training. So
what is Braille enabled? I mean, I'm thinking in my life, you know, elevators. I'm just thinking of things that I see that are overtly... When you're in hotels, floors, I spend a lot of time in hotels, at least I used to before the Ravens threw me out, but I travel a lot. I'm trying to think of places where Braille is ubiquitous and places where it's really troublesome when people come and they can't, like just ramps for folks with mobility issues. We never had those. We had curbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of worked around that. What would be more helpful in the real world for blind people to have Braille or have
museums
inclusion.
Would be amazing
okay.
to have, and I think we're working towards that, having more Braille in museums that are visual,
right?
And
well,
having
well, Braille people. I think if I was blind, I would gravitate more toward audio things.
Yes, and museums these days you can have the audio recorders, the headsets, and walk around to describe the paintings and the exhibit.
Okay,
but. You know, this is my first experience in the disabilities arena.
Oh,
and the
how
blind.
Long have you been working at BISN?
3 years.
Okay. So, wow, you have that thing I have right now, which is the wow factor of the minute you started working there.
Yeah.
So what have you learned in your last 3 years, Jessica Normington? Please tell me.
Well, I'll tell you, when I started, part of my onboarding was for 3 weeks, our students all wear sleep shades, so they see complete darkness, because blindness is a spectrum. And so part of my onboarding was becoming immersed in the with the students and wearing those sleep shades for 3 weeks. And that's where I learned basic Braille. I learned to walk with a white cane and travel. I'm scared to admit this, but I went on a public transportation on a bus for the first time in my life blind.
I've been on a lot of buses, so I'm good with buses. But, yeah. That is a place that, and I'll be honest now, as a boy, I rode buses everywhere in my life.
But it's
that's a place I saw blind people.
Yeah.
I saw blind people get on buses because that's all they had. That's
right.
It.
I mean, but it's empowering because these people, if they have lost their vision later in life, they're taking the next step to empowering themselves so they're not sitting home depressed that they lost their vision.
How'd your bus ride go?
Luckily, I was with other students. If I was by myself, I think I would have freaked out more.
So blind
but
leading the people
blind.
That can see. No, you weren't blind. Blind leading the vision. Ah.
No, we were all blind. So all our instructors are
but
blind.
But you're not blind.
But I was
so
wearing sleep shades.
So that was blind leading you is
yes,
what it was.
It was.
So wasn't the blind leading
It was
blind.
A fun experience. Because
blind
again,
leading the temporarily blinded,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was a kind of a fun experience because I've never really been on Baltimore City.
Well, it's fun for you because you were going to get your vision back in an hour and they weren't. And you were going to appreciate it a whole
valid.
Hell of a lot more.
But it was.
Right?
You're understanding what they're going through.
Right.
And, you know, people grabbing you thinking you need help. That's why I say always ask. If they need help.
Right.
Because they don't. I don't want to be grabbed.
Well, I'm an empath, right? Just
yeah.
in a general sense. So I don't mind helping. And if people ask for help and it's somebody's older, elderly, that's my role. You know, can I help you? Can I get you? Can I get you? But there are more elderly people I encounter every day than blind people. So I can't say that I have a lot of I told you my Maurice story. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I've had a lot of other blind people in my life. I had another listener who was blind that I remember that I don't remember his name. But on a daily, I can't remember the last time I had a conversation with someone who's blind. You know, other than NFL officials. I'm just making that up. It's just my little kick for today. Had to throw that in today. Our friends at BISM are here locally. Jessica Normington is the Director of Development and Communications, Empowering the Blind Community. You can reach them at BISM.org. You're on the west side of town, Washington Boulevard?
Yep, Hillthorpe, about a mile away from Guinness Brewery.
Now, people, when I drive through the tunnel, I see the blind. What is that?
That's the National Federation of the Blind.
Now, there was a gentleman that was always on the television commercials mm-hmm. that was always a part for many, many, many years who ran that federation when they were spending money and like on TV. And you drive by it and you see it. That's a big thing, right? The mm-hmm. National Federation. Give me what they do or the role in all of that.
So their national headquarters are here in Baltimore.
Well, that's a thing.
Yep. Yeah. They're an advocacy organization, policy driven, working with DC and lawmaking, trying to change laws around blindness.
So what does that mean? Because I like fighting the power, if you haven't heard or haven't read. So what would be an advocacy issue that they would fight for that needs to be done in regard to inclusion?
So some states don't allow blind individuals to raise their children. So changing the law because they find them inadequate to raise children. So changing the law that...
Let me guess, they're red.
I honestly don't know what states.
I don't
states,
know either.
But I learned this over the summer and I was like blown away by it. You know, with the electric cars, you can't hear them.
Oh, right.
So legislative around car manufacturing and making some kind of sound. So they know that because that's how they... navigate traffic is listening.
They're kind of like owls, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, cars. They're flightless or soundless, right?
Mm-hmm. So a little bit, but they also have training centers like ours across the country that train non-visual skills.
Well, I guess if you know you spend 5 minutes blind, you'd start to figure out what your needs would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's missing in navigating things. But I'm always inspired, you know, by all of it. And I'm glad you came up. I am really sorry about Tuesday. I'm going to apologize. You're the first person I have to apologize
no
to.
No worries.
Tell everybody where you were Tuesday, where you were supposed to be, and what I did. And by the way, tell me about your partner that was going to come that couldn't make it. I want to give a shout out because I screwed that up, and I'm going to tell you the whole story.
No worries. Dr. Goss, Michael Goss, our president and CEO, was going to join me on Tuesday.
Well, can he come next time?
Definitely.
I'm sorry, Doc.
It's fine. He's good.
I needed a doctor on Tuesday. Let me tell you that. So,
well, he's a doctor of engineering.
I'm a doctor
or
of love.
Computer science or something like that.
Well, what happened? What happened was, I did the show Monday at Costas. I can't believe I'm going to admit this to you because I feel I haven't admitted this out loud because it's so stupid that I don't want to. You're already laughing, so I'm already ahead of the game.
I can't wait.
I went to Costas on Monday night. I came home. I have a backpack with this computer and the stuff that I need to get the videos and audios to all of the social media and Baltimore Positive and YouTube and the radio and all the places that all 10 of you follow me. So I came home Monday, a little fatigued, came in the door, put my bag down, did my thing. Tuesday was the one day this year that my wife had to go to Silver Spring for her all-in Verizon executive meeting with her new VPs and like all that. So she had to do her hair up, look nice, pretty. She's always pretty, hair, like all that. And it was the one day she needed a car to go to Silver Spring. We're one car family because we live downtown and we both work from home, right? So put everything down, packed everything up, went to bed, get up 3 in the morning like I always do what I do. My son was off Tuesday. He was going to drive me. It would be boys' day. You know, we're going to have fun, Fadley's. And he's going to pick me up 10:15. We're going to get downtown 10:45, have a crab cake, and wait for nice people like you and host a cup of soup or bowl. Showered, shave, get out of bed, put my belt buckle on, radio station, everything. 10:15, I reached into my bag. And I went and put my laptop back in my bag. I put this headset that was in that bag. I'm like, I want to take this headset and put it in my bigger bag. And I packed the bag, and I got my lottery tickets here, and I put them in the bag.
I know where this is going.
And I looked down. And if I have it underneath, I would show it to you. But I have a big briefcase that all this equipment sits in, and I have a big duffel bag. And both of those things were in the trunk of the car, which would be fine if the trunk of the car was in Towson. But the trunk of the car was in Silver Spring at an executive meeting. And I realized this at 10:18 a.m. when I was literally last step getting my wallet, putting like my kid was at the house, we're ready to go. He literally just walked in the door. I'm like, dude, we're not going anywhere. He said, what do you mean? I'm like, this is not good. Give me a minute to text Fadley's, Jessica, Mike, everybody that was the guest. You're the only one that made it this week. So American Cancer Society and Hope Lodge, I love you. Jessica, Megan first, and then Jessica. Megan was my guest from Enoch Pratt Library in Live Baltimore. She'll come, Megan McCorkle. So I rebooked all of you. None of you were mad at me. Even my two police officers from Preparing Youth for Tomorrow, they're going to come back out 2 weeks from now. Do you know what a jerk I felt like at 10:30? Do you know, like, I'm texting all of you, and it's like, it was like the plane left and I wasn't on it, and it was nothing I could do about it. And you're just standing there and you're like, well, the show's not going to happen today. And I said, well, let's pretend it snowed, or let's pretend there was a water main break, or like brain fart, I don't know, but I locked my equipment in the car and I don't know what else to say. So I apologize. So I'm going to buy you a beer here and make it right at Cooper's, all right?
Well, thank you. We're all human. It happens.
If I really screwed you over and I really felt bad, I'd buy you some gumbo, but that's so good you can buy it yourself. We're at Cooper's North. Jessica Normington is here. She was supposed to be my Tuesday guest, and she keeps stepping out of my shot and keeps stepping in my shot. That's all right. They watch for my hair. BISM, Empowering the Blind Community. Her card is Braille. It has like...
it's raised dots.
Yeah, and I have been inebriated enough on the road in hotel rooms to try to play with it a little bit. And like when I'm in the elevator and just try to like, I wonder what it would be like, close my eyes and say, could I find my floor? And would I know my floor if I was on it? And if I landed on the 8th floor or the 9th floor, just to touch to know I'm on the right floor, that I'm not trying to break into somebody's room in 812 instead of 1012 because I'm freaking blind and I won't be able to see and I don't know how to read Braille. So feeling like, at some point, this moment of reading Braille might be just a good idea to learn how to do it.
So it's a sequence of 6 dots. So it's not even close to English. So it's the most challenging.
Well, the other part is how raised they are and the sensitivity.
The feel. Yeah, the feel. The sensitivity on your fingers.
So I would tell you, like my buddy Paul Lamantia, who was the guitar player in my band, and my fantastic hairstylist, the Gentleman's Gentleman, his fingers have playing the guitar. Like, and we've talked long and hard about how I'm tenderfooted to play the guitar, that I would bleed before I could learn how to play. I just think all of that, callous, just different things that would, it would be so hard to be blind, you know?
That hard.
Well, God bless them all. Let's bring them all on. You watch them every day, right?
I do.
So you know it's possible.
Oh, it's 100,000% possible.
Were you the way I was before you worked there?
Not necessarily. I just didn't know. I wasn't educated. And that's...
Well, I wasn't until Maurice walked into my radio station when I was 23 years old. So, and I'm like, wow.
That's why I'm here today.
Who are my listeners? Wow.
Right. Because the misperceptions out there is, blind people can't do anything. Yeah, they can do everything.
Everything.
They could do everything. It's just they do it differently.
All right. Well, I have a blind listener out there who wants to go to a rock and roll show with me. So, Mark, I'm looking for you. Even though you can't see me, you can hear me. He'll laugh at that. So, Mark Donahue's my dude. So,
He works at BISM.
All right. Well, do you know Mark?
I do know Mark. I know Mark. I see him every day.
Can you apologize to Mark for me not going to Iron Maiden with him?
Sure.
Because he wanted me to go to Maiden with him. And I didn't have the mojo that night.
I will let him know.
I'm going to take him to a show.
I'll see him Monday.
I email him all the time, and we're going to do a show. I know his brother, Glenn. He did my kitchen years ago. So I do know someone blind. I'm an idiot, Mark. Sorry.
So yeah, he works in our customer
Well, you
service.
Inspire me, but you know that. So how about that? Is that good?
Awesome.
Well, there's a guy with a hell of a sense of humor, Mark Donahue. I've known him a minute. Tell him I'm sorry about the Ravens, too.
I will.
Yeah. Is your hair purple for the Ravens?
Yep. Well, it started that way. Now it's just part of my calling card. So when the year we won the first Super Bowl.
Do you have purple hair for 12 years?
I've had it for 12 years.
Well, I should give you a copy of Purple Rain 2 for that, right? I mean, if nothing else. My kid go and his wife, they have their, you folks, the people that do the hair. And people come up to my, like, what color is your son's hair? And I was with him. I think it's pink right now, but it was orange before. It's definitely been blue. I haven't been purple in a while since Chad Steele threw me out. He's not, like, feeling like being purple.
I always have some purple. I put some green in for Eagles this weekend because my husband's an Eagles fan, so I had to support him a little bit.
He's not going to be all greasy climbing a pole or anything Sunday?
I sure hope not.
All right, all right.
He'll be sitting on the couch in our family room screaming at the TV.
Are you rooting for him or again? I guess you're trying to help him out. You don't care at this point.
I honestly don't care, but of course I have to root for the Eagles. He's my husband. Happy wife, happy life, happy house.
What if they're playing each other?
I would root for the Ravens. It would be a very divided house.
Well, he's an Eagles fan. There's no halfway.
But he would be, you know, he's lived here 24, 5 years. So he's as much as a Ravens fan as an Eagles fan.
One of my favorite things.
He'd be happy either way.
About Billick being my business partner back in the day was we would go out and do these speeches with corporate. You know, we come down to BISM and speak to people. Because Brian liked doing that kind of thing. And Brian would come in and he'd get everybody together and he'd say, how many people got here Redskin fan? How many people here Steeler? Talk to you later, you know, whatever. And he'd say, how many Eagles fans you got here? Eagles fans? He said, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. That, you know, he would hold his ring out and the Eagles fans would get on.
All up to the girl.
And they can't do that anymore.
No.
I already admitted the young lady here, Kate from Reed's Rescue, the dog rescue, she's an Eagles fan. She's from Allentown.
That's where my husband's from.
Yeah, well, I admitted to her, you know, like, and I was at the team party, the Eagles party in 17, and that was a night. I mean, that was a kicker. I didn't go to the Ravens party when Beyonce played in 13. Mm-hmm. I went to the Eagles party. They didn't have any the entertainment was Jason Kelce, I think, that night. But the night the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I was at their team party, and it was on like Donkey Kong. It was fun.
Oh, they partied
hard. It was good times. Yeah. I had more fun at your party than I had at the Eagles party than I had at the Ravens party. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I really did. I mean, and I didn't have a dog in the hunt, and I didn't really like the Eagles, but I had like 10 friends working for the Eagles then. I think 7 or 8 players I knew on that team. Corey Graham was on that team. Torrey Smith was on that team. Timmy Jernigan was on. There were a lot of Raven players on that team.
Well,
Jimmy Schwartz, Joe Douglas, down the line.
I've always been a Ravens fan. I was an intern the summer that the stadium open.
I'm not barring the Eagles for a Sunday, even though I love Buddy Ryan. I'm not. So I don't care who wins. The Ravens didn't win. I kind of wish Buffalo would have won just to get it out of there, you know, just get
Agreed.
It done. Just get that done.
For the Buffaloes.
I'm never going to want the Washington team to win, and now they're trouble. They're going to be a problem for a little while.
But they're a great story.
For whom?
Them.
You know what I've been telling
new
everybody
coach,
is if they win
the
Super
playoffs.
Bowl, I'm gonna call them the Maryland Commanders. I'm gonna claim them. How dirty of me. God, I feel I'm editing that. I didn't really say that. Jessica Normanton is here. Her card is in Braille because she works with BISM, empowering the blind community. I didn't know you. You know what? Mark's emails always come in BISM, so I sort of knew he worked there. I'm sorry I didn't.
No
Why did we bring him today? Where's he? Where are you? Where is he?
He didn't know I was coming today. I'll rub it in his face on Monday.
I think I already took a picture with you. We'll do that. All right, the Magic 8 Ball is here. You get one, number 98. There's Timmy Jernigan's number. There you go. Well, he was 97. That's Tony Siragusa there, 98.
98.
Is that good?
Sure.
Anthony Weaver, 98. Trying to get all the 98s out of the way here.
Works for me.
All right, the Magic 8 Balls are out. We're here at Cooper's North. Please support our friends at BIS. And what can people do to help you?
They can support us through donating. We have an event coming up on March 29th at Checker Spot Brewery. They can come drink some beer, support us.
Beer.
We collaborated with Good Beer. We collaborated and brewed a beer with them called Blind Spot.
What kind of beer is it?
A honey Kolsch.
I'll drink it. Oh, I love honey Kolsch.
Yeah.
I thought you could say, it's a hazy. I don't drink IPA.
It's a honey Kolsch, and the beer cans are brailled.
IPA. I puke something. I don't like IPAs. It's not my thing.
It's a very drinkable.
I'm stouty. I'm lagery. I'm pilsnery a little bit. I'm definitely Kolschy.
Yeah, it's a really nice drink.
You ever been to Germany?
No.
So, man who saved my wife's life from Germany. He lives near Gelsenkirchen in Dortmund up in the northwestern corner, but he's close to Cologne. Hour from Cologne. Cologne's like one of the great places ever. Cologne is the place with all the beer halls. When you go in and they bring the beer in the milk crates, mm-hmm. and they cut the suds off the top, and you get them in these little glasses, there's like Richie Cunningham, little 8-ounce glasses, mm-hmm. and it stays colder longer that way, and it's Kolsch. All Kolsch. My favorite Kolsch in the world is Zuner Kolsch. And I've been trying to get Furman to get that down at Max's on tap for me down there.
They don't have it. They have everything else.
Oktoberfest, they get it every like other year. And the year he gets it, I'm just going to be down there. I'm going to be like a kegger.
Kegger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keg stands.
Old school, man. Old school. All right. BISM, my thanks to hi, Mark. Come do the show. And I don't know. We'll go see Priest or something, right? He's a metalhead.
I don't honestly know. But sure, I'll take your word for it.
He's a music guy,
yeah.
Mark, classic rock guy. So she's the director of development communications, and I screwed up on Tuesday, and it's Friday. So the good news is I'll have you back to Fadley's for a crab cake, you and the doctor. And the really good news is you get gumbo that's better than the gumbo in New Orleans here. So even if the Ravens would have won, you'd be, woo, purple hair. and then you and your husband would have been like this, but we'll get better gumbo here.
Sounds like
I mean that. We're at Cooper's North. It's the Cup of Super Bowl. We have bags of stuff. Lots of folks have brought things here. One brought a Wise Markets bag. So I'm appreciative of that because Wise Markets is our sponsor. Putting us out on the road doing this. It is the final day. When I reconvene, I have Leonard Raskin's coming by. Greg Landry, who did my documentary last year, is coming by. It's the first time he's been on the show since the documentary. Terry Beck is here. He's the general manager of Cooper's North. He is a two-time cancer survivor, lymphoma. So we're going to talk to him about that. And this is sort of like when Art Donovan would show up at Channel 13 with John Buren. The great Luke Jones is going to be here, my chemosabi and partner. From Shrewsbury, across the border, he's like, it's Timonium. I wouldn't come to Essex for you. So he'll be here today, and we're going to break bread and have some fun and probably talk some baseball as well as other things. So Cup of Super Bowl is here. It's all about charity. It's all about the Maryland Food Bank. We have donations coming in. My friend at the Chesapeake Emergency Assistance Center, Caitlin Kirby, yesterday, I'm going to give her a whole bunch of bags of stuff today. I'm driving over there, giving it all out. So a lot of it's going to wind up in Catonsville on behalf of the Maryland Food Bank. So my thanks for that. Plenty of activities here. Plenty of things for you to find out at Baltimore Positive as well. As we're now, I think you're my 24th piece this week. My goal was humbly about 30 or 40. I'm going to get to 30 before the week is over. And I have other people from Tuesday that I'm going to have back. We're going to be at Fadley's on the 18th. We're going to be on Wednesday at Lib's Grill in Bel Air with Nick. And we have Harford County Executive Bob Cassily coming on Wednesday as well from noon till 5. We'll be at Lib's Grill in Bel Air. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Back for more from Cooper's on a Cup of Super Bowl. Stay with us.